Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined by the always beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry, and we are live once again. We took a couple weeks, played some pre-recorded shows, but this is live, and Sherry, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. There's not a whole lot to report, good, bad, or otherwise. So what's been going on with you the last few weeks?
I've just been working and cleaning house. I'm finally getting around to sorting things out. And that's pretty much about it. Sorting, taking care of my pups, training my biggest one. He's a German Shepherd. Yes, he's a wonderful, good guard dog. Very loving, very, very good dog. Very big. He's huge. He's huge. He's about 17 months and he weighs over 100, probably about 105, 110 pounds, and he's not quite full grown yet.
Damn, that's like, I was trying to equate it to my weight. So my weight would be two and a half of your dogs is what I weigh.
Well, he's solid muscle. He's so active. He's so hyperactive, and he's just, you know, he's just a good pup. We're raising him to be very good with people, but also he's very protective. So you want that balance.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not a dog person. I'm more on the cat side of things, but you know, people love their dogs. I have a friend that he would eat like canned beans and he would feed his dog steak. And I never understood that. There's people out there that, I know more than one person that treats their dog better than they do themselves. Like the dog gets the best food. And personally, I know people care for their animals and their pets, but I never understood why people do that. But it's just me.
No. It's because they love them. I mean, they love them, and they want to get the best, and they know that dogs are, they don't live very long, so they want to make sure that they get the best. I mean, I'm like that, too, in a sense. I hand cook those, you know, what I prep hand, yeah, we have kibbles and things, but I hand prepare food, you know. I cook them, make sure they got the vitamins, and I try and go overboard, that's a good word, to make sure that I'm doing the best that they're trying to be as healthy as possible.
The way I look at it is don't get attached to anything. That way you'll avoid yourself the disappointment when they abandon you or die. Is that morbid? Should I not think like that?
No, you shouldn't. You should be able to enjoy. There's a reason why they come into your life, and there's a lot of lessons. And that's the reason, too, is that when you go and when you think about that, you're not enjoying what they're giving you is unconditional love and being able to enjoy your life and not think about your problems and being in the present moment. There's a lot of lessons the animal can teach us. So when you think about that, you're trying to, it's going to happen sooner or later. It's going to happen sooner or later with you. But, you know, why have that attitude when you can think about, oh, yeah, you know, this dog has been given to me or this cat's been given to me as a gift from, you know, a God, creator, or universe, or spirit, and it's here for me to take care of and enjoy, and, you know, don't think about whether it's going to die and then things like that. We all are. It's just having that moment of giving it the best you can give so that when it does, you know, try and, you know, help you from not alleviate some of the conscious of not doing enough, you know, so. But they
well,
not
I don't
against
know.
People.
Maybe I'm broken.
Dogs, animals, it could be anything is abuse. Abandonment and abuse, I cannot. I'm one big proponent of animal neglect, abuse, abandonment, those kind of things. I am so against people like that. And they should have animals and they should be fine, not only just, you know, I'm kind of extreme, but if you're not going to fix your animals, unless they're high quality line, and I mean, it's got to be very rare, but you know, a lot of the backyard breeders, puppy mills and things like that, they should be fine, $5,000, you know, for at least $5,000 to $10,000 for not to get and have their animals taken away, because they're, you know, animals shouldn't be have to be bred like that. It puts a lot of stress on the animal, and we have such an overpopulation problem of animals, and it's because of our fault. It really is. I'm on a tangent, but I'm very passionate about that. People need to be really, really take ownership of their animals and spay and neuter them and give them the love and the attention that they need. They don't need to be chained out. They don't need to be left in cars where they're freezing and, you know, they're, you know, I can understand maybe running into the store or something, you know, for 5 minutes or something, but not even in the heat or in the cold, you know, but there's certain circumstances. But yeah, I'm a big proponent of rescuing them and just loving them as part of their family. They treat you better than a lot of humans do. Cats or dogs. I'm not a cat or a dog person. I love them both.
So what about places that eat dog? What's your stance on that?
Oh, gosh, that's disgusting. I'm so, you know, it is a cultural thing. But, you know, Vietnam, Korea, China, those kind of places, I mean, their mentality is they're going to eat everything that's walking on four legs or two legs or whatever, but to me, I'm just, you know, even cows, when I look at a cow and you know that you're going to, my husband grew up on a farm and you know that that cow is going to be eaten for, I just can't do it. I would not be able to eat it. I could not kill him, let alone eat him. So the fact is that, you know, when people do that and look, you can look at their eyes, you know, being a psychic medium, you can look at their souls and say, wow, this is my intention is to graze you as big, you know, big as you could and just kill you. I couldn't do that. That's just to me is inhumane. I'm not into cutting deer. I'm not into shooting bear and elk and all these other things. I'm not into that. They all have a reason to be.
Do you not eat meat?
I'm a meat eater, but I could not kill it. Isn't that crazy? I love my meat. I'm a type O blood, but I couldn't go and raise something and then go and kill it.
I can see that. I mean, I've done that, like, in my youth. I've done it, but it's not something. I mean, back then, when I was 16 or 17, I lived on a boarding school, and every now and then I'd slaughter a pig. I've skinned animals. But I mean, I ain't no Hannibal Lecter. It's not enjoyable. Would I do it now? No. I prefer not to be acquainted with the animal for which I'm about to consume. So I think we're on the same thing. Because I love a good steak, you know.
I know. I love a good steak, too, you know, but it's so bad in what they do. I mean, it's not like they have an overpopulation problem with, you know, it's not like they have an overpopulation problem and they're killing each other off or something like that, you know. It's just crazy. Yeah.
So to put a paranormal sliver in this, do animals have souls like people?
Of course. They talk to me. When I listen, they talk to me.
I mean, are they like,
of course,
are they the same kind of soul that people have? Like, I don't know anything about it. Or are they different?
Yeah,
is it a different kind of deal?
They have, they're a living being, they're a soul, and they have feelings. I see when my dog, when he's crying, he has tears coming out of his eyes. I mean, he's sad about something, and he'll go, like that, you know, kind of thing. And, yeah, animals, my baby, not my German Shepherd, but my Maltese Shih Tzu, he's an empath. He's such a sensitive soul. He's so sensitive. Not even funny.
But what about less intelligent creatures, say, like...
Like worms?
Hedgehog, or... you could go that far, yeah, like a lizard or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
Do they have souls?
I think so. I know that, but, you know, yes, of course. I'm reading an article. This is October, in 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks. We're going to be coming on our Christmas show. I think it's the 29th. It's not quite the 31st. I'll celebrate, my 8th year on radio with you? My 8th year. Can't believe it.
Eight years.
You were talking about, you know, you being, when I first met you, and I'm on a tangent, I'm switching out gears here. We were talking about you used to be a paranormal investigator. And I'm reading an article right now, and might be now that it's October, and we're talking about spooky stuff, and, you know, paranormal, supposedly things are more, the veil's thinner than normal. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'm reading an article right now about the shady science of ghost hunting.
That sounds like an article that would be, yeah, I know. It's all very sketchy, and I don't know that there's really a lot of science behind it with all the equipment that's out there, but go ahead.
Would you like to read it to you, or just go read parts of it, or what?
No, just give me the bullet points.
Okay, so let's, they're a big business. And apparently they have, you know, it says here they have books and television, the Ghost Whisperer, Medium, dozens of ghost hunter organizations. And they're talking about different things from ghost buffs who look around repeatedly in ghost haunted places, getting a glimpse of a spirit work. Ghost hunters are two plumbers moonlighting as paranormal investigators in the popular sci-fi channel reality Ghost Hunters. Ooh, have you ever seen the Ghost Hunters? I've seen what is the one with Zach?
Ghost Adventures.
Right. This is Ghost Hunters. I don't think I've ever seen this.
That was before Ghost Adventures. That's the original OG ghost show.
Yeah. And Grant Wilson.
Yeah, that's the show that put it into the mainstream was Ghost Hunters.
Wow. So what they were saying is it is a worst waste of time. Ghost investigate the worst crimes and wasting time. They make nuisances of themselves even to break the law. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
October 2005, three ghost hunters in Salem, Massachusetts were arrested for trespassing on private property in search of ghosts. They had entered an abandoned hospital reputed to be haunted. The group was so busy looking for the spirits that they failed to notice the police station was across the street. All three were arrested, fined, and sent home. Trespassing or vandalizing ghost hunters have been arrested in cemeteries in Illinois, Connecticut, and many other states. And ghost detectors, they talk about ghosts and evidence of mysterious, elusive as a spirit, yet ghost hunting often less scientific methods of using things to find evidence of a ghost. Some of them, they'll use psychics to go in. And some other ghost hunter groups claim to be scientific. So they use the Geiger counters, electromagnetic EMF detectors, ion detectors, infrared cameras, and sensitive microphones. Yet the equipment's only scientific as the person using it. And you may own the world's most sophisticated thermometer, but if you're using it as a barometer, your measurements are worthless. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think the technology is, I don't know that any of that technology is proven to be related to ghosts. I'm like, how do you prove that? How do you prove that spirits give off electromagnetic energy, or there's voices on tape recorders? It's all very inconclusive. I'm not saying it's not evidence, but it's there's no real like peer-reviewed studies or any kind of proof. It's just what's been put out there.
I'm working on having Clyde Lewis come on in 2 weeks. If he's open to Sundays, he's off. So I'm working on having Clyde Lewis or Ron Patton for our Halloween show. And that might be interesting to talk about that, too. What kind of things that they've encountered in during their investigations.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, yeah, I've talked about it many times before. I've experienced things I can't explain. But, you know, you can't say conclusively that there's ghosts. I've never seen an apparition standing right next to me. And even if I had, who's to say that that's not a hallucination? You know,
I do believe this does exist. I actually know that it does exist, but it takes a person, you know, some people are very fortunate to experience an apparition that has materialized to that extent. That apparition has to have a very high energy in order to literally materialize in front of somebody. What about ecoplasm? You know, you people who are channeling and they have this ecoplasm that's coming out of their mouth or their ears and stuff like that. It is crazy.
Yeah, that to me is ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I believe it does happen, but it's not as often as people think.
That the ectoplasm thing, man, that goes back to like the seances 150 years ago, you know, where they would channel and then they'd have the stuff coming out of their noses and mouth. I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical on that.
Everything's energy, and I really feel that it can happen. I've never seen it before, but I've seen pictures. Edward Casey, some very phenomenal mediums and people that are, you know, able to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's good to be. I'm not the other way. I'm not totally the other way. I want to be able to be balanced, but I do believe and know that it can happen.
Well, you know, my girlfriend saw an apparition in my house, so I believe her.
Is she crazy?
You know, but I can't. I can't say that it's a ghost. I mean, there's all sorts of weird atmospheric phenomena or weird stuff that happens in our brain, so it's hard to kind of sift through all that and know for sure that, you know, that it's an actual ghost.
Yeah, and did you question her whether she's maybe hallucinating?
It's possible. I mean, you know, people do hallucinate.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's looking for it. You know what I mean? You never know.
I've woken up hallucinating before, so... You know, it's one of those things that happens to the human body every now and then. Hypnagogic hallucinations before, right after waking up, you know, it can start to see a lot of weird stuff that seems totally real, you know.
Can we change over to our 10 favorite? And this is Live Science. 10 favorite unusual monsters. Do you want me to go and talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, we're just doing our usual flip around subjects.
Random. Yep.
Random.
Yep, random. Hopefully, I'm sure 2 weeks we'll have a guest, whether you're Clyde Lewis or Ron Patton. I got a feeling we're going to get one or the other. Number one is Bigfoot. So, of course, Bigfoot is number one because it's very elusive, but it's a big one. According to this, Oregon is very well, and Pacific Northwest is very known to have Bigfoot.
Yeah, as you know, I'm not a believer in Bigfoot. Absolutely do not believe Bigfoot is a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I live here in the Northwest. Back years ago, I spent countless amount of time out in the high deserts and the mountains, and not once have I ever heard anything weird or seen anything weird. Actually, never saw any UFOs either. But I think that if there was a creature such as Bigfoot in these relative populated areas, such as the Northwest and the Cascades, that there over the course of all this time, there would be some sort of definitive evidence, a body, you know. But there's a bunch of hoaxers out there that claim they have bodies, and then they end up to be things that they've made. I asked many years ago, when I was in another paranormal show, talked to kind of the, I don't know if we've had him on this show or not, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. Have we had him on? I don't think we've had him on Paranormal Horizons.
No, his name does not sound familiar to me.
Yeah, he's the big Bigfoot guy, and I presented him with that question, is why, you know, is there not no evidence? And he had a valid argument saying that, you know, we don't know the behaviors of these creatures, and maybe they bury their dead. But even so, I just feel like there would be more evidence.
Well, what about the babies?
The babies?
You know, they would find babies. You know, supposedly, if there's a population, where's the babies? You would think that they would be able to see babies. Why is it just adult ones?
Yeah, there would just be more out there. And then we have the more fringe theories that big feet are interdimensional beings or aliens and stuff like that. There's just not any solid evidence that I am aware of that supports that these creatures actually exist. Every once in a while, somebody comes out and says they found some hair and they did some DNA testing and it was weird and stuff like that, but there's really no concrete scientific evidence that says that that creature exists.
Huh. Yeah, well, you know, I keep on saying that, but we've been so busy with our schedules and our lives, you and me both. We should have Cliff Barachman, and I don't know if people know who Cliff Barachman is, but Cliff Barachman is the guy that's had their radio, not the radio, but the channel on Animal Planet, Finding Bigfoot. He lives in Oregon. He's an Oregonian. And he has had a lot of encounters and stories about Bigfoot. That's all he does. He's a Bigfoot researcher. And so we should have him come on the radio show just to see if he's found anything new, just for your information or the public's information. I used to go to the Bigfoot Fest over there by Sandy or that area past Rhododendron, that kind of area, that the annual Bigfoot Fest, and they decided to abolish it. It is no longer in existence. So whoever has
why
a
did,
Bigfoot
why did they
Fest,
stop doing it?
They weren't making any money. It costs an arm and a leg. That's a problem when you do an event. The cost of renting a space, whether it's indoors or outdoors, is outrageous. And so, you know, it's not so much the people. It was just the cost of having guests coming in and things like that. And Cliff Barachman, Clyde Lewis, had a lot of big guys that are in the Bigfoot field come out and talk about it, but they just, you know, they were just, it was too much. It was just too much prep for how much they were getting from it, and the cost of renting a space was way more than they wanted to pay. It's not something that people think, oh, yeah, you put on an event, you're making ooh, buku, bucks, mint. No, that's not always the case. So the Bigfoot Fest was not happening this year. I attended it to last year, but that last year was it. They made a big notice out of it.
So what other creatures? Maybe I'll be more receptive to other mysterious monsters. What else you got?
So Bigfoot is the one I'm looking here going down. Vampires. Woohoo, vampires. century after Bram Stoker modeled his Dracula character after Romanian national hero Vlad Tepes, interest in vampires has never been stronger than this, from Dracula to Blade films. It's also sensual and scary. Vampire lore has inspired a thriving goth subculture, despite the strong evidence that vampires are a fictional creation. Some people even claim to be vampires, conducting arcane rituals, consuming blood from willing donors, and let's hope they show up for the blood drive. So we did have, years ago, we did have a guest. I don't know if you remember, Jason, we're talking about a guy that he said he was a vampire himself, but he can pick them out in the crowd. He thinks there's vampires in our population. Do you remember when I asked him on radio? I said, how can you pick them out? He says, oh, you would know. And I said, well, what kind of characteristics do you have that you know? He said, well, for number one, their coloration is not normal. Their coloration is more of a whitish tinge of their face.
So which, I don't remember that show. There's been hundreds, but when he was on there, when he was on there, was he saying he was a vampire, like how it's portrayed with like fangs and he's got like superpowers?
No. He was just one of those where he thinks vampires are, they come out at night. They sleep during the day and they come out at night. And they sleep in, like, boxes. They're like coffins. And they suck blood, but they just kind of roam around. They're kind of a little bit gothic, but they're kind of gothic, a little bit on the gothic side. But he said you can tell, or at least he could tell, in our population who are vampires and who are not.
Yeah, I, you know, drinking blood is not something that people should do. There's so many reasons why you shouldn't do that. I mean, there's the obvious ones, such as, diseases and stuff like that, but there's other reasons.
Oh, you mean drinking your own blood or drinking somebody else's blood?
Drinking anybody's blood, it's not
good.
How
about your own? How about your own?
That's not good either.
I mean, this is on your own blood.
Well, when you're drinking blood, you have, like, there's a ton of iron in blood. And
yes,
it's
there
just,
is, yes.
You're just bombing your body with iron and all stuff. It's just, it's not good. You have bloodborne issues such as, hepatitis and HIV and stuff like that. When your body absorbs too much iron, you can get something called hemochromatosis. And hemochromatosis is not good because it affects your heart, liver, pancreas. So don't drink blood. That's dumb.
Well, you heard of Androchrome, right?
What?
Androchrome. Have you heard of Androchrome?
That sounds
where
familiar.
Some people may be drinking a blood where the person's really excited, in a very excited, heightened state of emotions, and they drink their blood when they withdraw. I don't know how they do it, but they withdraw the person's blood when they're at that height of anger or excitement or anxiety, and they call it Androchrome, where it gives them a rush and kind of supposedly kind of superpowers, I guess. I don't know too much about it, but kind of weird. It's just strange, a really strange thing that people may do. I don't know what kind of culture thing. But it's just, that's awful. It's just a really weird kind of thing.
Now, people are weird.
So, anyway, werewolves is the next thing. Werewolves. So David Weatherly, I don't know if you remember David Weatherly, but he talked about, he's written so many books on different cryptoids and UFOs, and mainly cryptoids. But he covered up about the werewolves and how they exist. Let me think here. People are afraid of the werewolves. They're wolf-like creatures, and they're supposed to kill dozens of villagers. So the werewolf is only one variation of lycanthropy. It's an ancient belief that certain people have the ability to change into animals.
How
either
cool
at
that?
Will or certain dates or on full moon. Shapeshifters. They're like shapeshifters.
Where do people come up with this? This is ridiculous.
I don't know. It says witches and vampires, for example, are said to become cats, bats, and wolves on occasion. Shapeshifters. I don't know. And
I don't believe any of that exists. You talk about shapeshifting, then you can also start getting into skinwalkers, you know, who turn into animals and stuff like that.
Yeah. I talked to Stan Gordon tonight. He was talking about skinwalkers. There's lots and lots of report about skinwalkers.
I feel like I'm a negative nanny, like I'm Captain Skeptical, but I do not believe that people have the ability to transform themselves into animals. That is just absolutely ridiculous. I would believe in Bigfoot before I would believe that anyone on this planet that is a human would have that ability.
That's kind of far-fetched. Unless you can see it right in front of your face, it's hard to believe that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure of the origin of the werewolf. I mean, we all know the vampire. That really came around, at least in modern times, from Bram Stoker, basing it on that dude, Vlad the Impaler, who, like, killed thousands of people. And there have been a lot of evil, I don't remember, some female would, like, kill babies and bathe in their blood and stuff like that. That's where all those stories come from. They don't actually exist.
That's crazy. But, you know, we're talking about Halloween and all kinds of weird creatures and things like that. But, yeah, werewolves, that's another one. So, they're supposed to be called Wolfman. Connection with the full moon likely came because of the wolves and dogs' tendency to bark at the moon. So, Loch Ness Monster, we talked about that. That's the Loch Ness Monster? Oh, interesting. So there's no list of animals that would be complete without the beastie of inhabited Scotland's Loch Ness Monster. I witnessed a count back in 1933. It was first discovered.
That one I could get a little bit more on board with. That lake is absolutely massive, super deep. You know, it's possible that some ancient creature got landlocked in the lake and managed to survive for thousands of years or millions of years, and it kind of goes back to the, you know, the giant megalodon shark that some people say is still out there. So that one I could get on board with. I'm a little less skeptical of the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's so many different ones that are out there, but that was it. I like talking about that. It's interesting to see, different kind of creatures that may or may not exist, or somebody's imagination could be.
Yeah, I think the majority of that's people's imaginations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to see it to believe it.
Pretty much. And I do believe that people experience things, you know, going out in the woods at night and hearing something weird that they're not familiar with, and they may attribute it to Bigfoot, or maybe they happened to glance and there was a bear on its hind legs, and at a distance it looked like a Bigfoot. Then you have people that go out in gorilla suits to act like Bigfoot. So stuff like that. I mean, I do believe that people have experiences, but whether or not it's like actually a Bigfoot, I would be skeptical of. It's, you know, our mind is so influential, and it would just be really easy if you have an open mind and you are kind of a Bigfoot believer, that if you go out in the forest camping and you hear loud sounds or heavy footsteps in the middle of nowhere, you naturally would assume it was a Bigfoot if you were that type of person. But you know, whether those creatures actually exist, I'm doubtful. I can't say for certain because I don't know everything. But you're right, I am a person. I kind of have to experience it myself. I've experienced UFO stuff, so I'm a believer. But
Yeah, something that's different. Yeah, just kind of be open to it. I have encountered different things like that myself. I haven't seen a spirit personally materialize in front of me, but I have seen a spirit have, I have seen like a kind of whispery, like a cloud of a ghost. It's kind of like a cloudish, It's like misty. That's a good word to describe it. It was misty. And it was moving. I thought at first, I thought, geez, am I seeing something? But no, once you take your eye off of it, it's gone.
Yeah, I saw something like that once crossing a street in like 2 or 3 in the morning in Portland.
Have you really?
I saw it for a few seconds, and I'm like, it's like 3 or 4 feet off the ground. But it was like really opaquish. It was like this cloud. It was weird.
It was misty. Yeah, like opaque, it was like a mist, kind of like an opaque mist. Yeah, it's like a kind of, exactly. Yep. I saw that in my house many, many years ago before, you know, until I had my house cleansed and cleared all everything. You know, it's interesting about energy that, you know, you want to, and today I got rid of an ex-friend that I have lost in touch with. She was having some mental issues, you know, and everything, but I got rid of finally her cubicle. And, you know, things that you get rid of that used to be other people, especially when they were kind of going through a lot of stuff and everything, I think it really helps with the energy of getting rid of it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it has a lot to do with how your energy, your place of things, you know. That's why I'm really, I'm funny about, I should say funny, but I don't like it when people go, and I've known people that go to Goodwill stores and buy furniture and things like that. And they're just like, I'd rather go to Walmart before I go and go get something from the Goodwill store or a pawn shop. I think I've said that many times before on radio.
Hey, I have to jump off mic for like 10 seconds. I'll be right
okay.
back.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Well, I hope everybody's going to have a good Halloween. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, hopefully our show is going to be very lively. We'll have a guest. I'm excited about that.
I'm back.
And I'm kind of excited about getting back on to getting a guest, not every week because Jason and I are quite busy, but as when we get to be on radio and we're kind of not having things to talk about, it's nice to have a guest once in a while again. So I will work on that.
I don't know. I kind of like just chatting and talking about whatever. The majority of the time it's nothing to do with paranormal, but it's been a while since we had a guest, so getting a guest would probably be good.
Yeah, it'd be good just to change things up a little bit, just to change things up. So what do you think about Zach Bagan, about having his museum over in Las Vegas, having his own museum? You know, it's called the Haunted Museum.
I think that's cool. I would go to it. Why not? Apparently, there's a lot of paranormal stuff. Apparently, the building that that's in is, like, legitimately haunted before he put all the cursed and haunted objects in there. So, yeah, it's an interesting place. I think it would be kind of cool to check it out. You might want to bathe in holy water so that none of the evil spirits follow you home.
I don't think I would go there, to be honest with you. I don't think I would go. You would go, but I wouldn't.
I would go. Why not? Yeah, I mean, it'd be. He's got a lot of, like, cool stuff, like Jack Kevorkian's suicide van and all that.
You mean where he did the suicide? When he did to help people do the suicide, he actually.
Yeah, he's got the van inside that building.
Wow.
It must be nice to have that money. What's that?
Yeah, here's the article about the renowned filmmaker Eli Roth and paranormal investigator Ghost Adventures Zach Bagan team up once for a new season of The Haunted Museum. The spine-chilling scripted series begins to come to life with the terrifying tales of the most haunted artifacts, inspired by the eerie artifacts on display of Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum in Los Angeles. Executive producers had hand-selected writers and directors who would create cinematic stories about the cursed pieces that Zach's creepy collection, with introductions from Zach about his hellish history and how it became to be in his possession. A treat for horror fans everywhere, just in time for Halloween this month. The Haunted Museum will premiere Thursday, October 26th on the Travel Channel. I got to check that out. I'll check it out. I just won't go there. Enthusiasts for all things haunted, Zach's amassed a collection of thousands and thousands of curiosities from all over the world, exhibiting across a sprawling 14,000 square foot mansion museum. These cursed objects take us in the haunted museum. Zach joins forces to tell about their stories in a frightening format. And Eli, the modern master of horror and creative force behind such films as Cabin Fever or Hostel, along with a credited team of writers, present the frightful tales behind Zach's most feared items through innovative and evocative true-to-life reality horror. Among the possessed pieces are the cauldron found in serial killer Ed Gein's home, evil puppets said to possess a person's soul, and one of the most terrifying pieces is an ancient mummified head. So the one that's going to be coming up on, the TV, the Travel Channel on Thursday, October 26th, they're going to talk about, it's the cursed brothel bed. So that's where Dennis Hoff, the deceased owner of the well-known legal bordello, died on the bed that's said to have a sordid and evil history. This cursed brothel bed is desperate need of money to pay for her son's medical treatment. A single mother becomes a sex worker at a legal brothel out of state, where a malevolent force attached to her assigned room begins stalking her. She must unravel the mystery before she becomes the entity's next victim. Wow. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. You should watch it. It's knowing for you, it's more entertaining for you than anything else.
Well, I certainly like good entertainment. Entertainment.
So has there been anything going on with you as far as your house goes lately?
Well, it's up for sale and nobody's buying houses, which is unfortunate. So I'm basically stuck doing, you know, what I'm doing.
The job that you hate.
I don't hate the job. Well, I'm not a big fan of it now because they sold it to another company that I don't want to work for. I mean, as for a job, it's an okay job. You know, it's relatively easy and not very stressful a lot of times. Get to see interesting things and work with great people and things like that. But I just, in my mind, I've kind of checked out. I think I want to start a new chapter in my life and get out of Portland and do something else. Maybe not even in a laboratory. I've been working in a laboratory for, I don't know, 8 years maybe, and I'm kind of over it. You know what I mean? I'm over healthcare.
It's okay. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good to be over it, because sometimes that's just a path. It's kind of like I call it a pit stop. There's something that you had to go through, and you learn, and whatever the work environment, people, the job itself, there's so many lessons, but that is time, like you said, it's time to move on. It may not be healthcare. It could be something that you may want to do on your own, you know. Could be self-employment. It doesn't have to be with somebody else.
Yeah, and I got a good gig. I mean, I work 2 miles from where I live, and I work 6 hours a day, which is amazing, and I'm totally spoiled from it, and... But I'm also just kind of burned out. I think I'm just generally burned out and working in healthcare.
Yeah, I understand that. There are a lot of people that do that. And you get to the point where you don't want to become, where you become burned out and you become hardened, you know, with your heart. You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. But I'm also, you know, I don't know if there's any other job I'd want to do. I don't want to work. I think I'm... It's nothing against that job. It's just any job. I don't think there is a job that would make I would enjoy. I honestly don't. I think, like, I would love to just wake up, and probably most people, if not all people, would love to just have money, wake up, and be like, wow, this is the first time in 35 years that I don't actually have to get up and go to work. That's what I want.
Yeah, or at least, if anything, you can go and sell things online and just pick, you know, go to the post office, and you're on the computer anyway, and you just make money on the computer. You don't have to go anywhere, right?
Yeah, I could do something like that. I'm a YouTube star making millions of dollars.
Well, you have to have a lot, from my understanding. You have to have a lot of followers. Is that correct? I don't know enough about this kind of... See, I'm not a computer person, so... Yeah.
So you get millions of followers. Some people just start it and get super lucky and then, you know, get really a lot of people and can live off of it. And then there's other long-termers, but the vast majority are never go anywhere, you know. You have to just... do it just right and all that. So it's not a real viable thing to say, like, quit your job and I'm going to make YouTube videos for a living. Yeah, it's the odds of being successful enough to make a living doing that are stacked against you, because you have millions of other people trying to do the same thing.
So what about TikTok? Do you think people are making money off of TikTok?
Yeah, people make money off of TikTok.
Oh, you can? Okay. Are they any of those, but you have to have a lot of followers, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands and stuff like that.
I suppose you're going to have to treat it like a job, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you're doing like videos and stuff like that, you're obviously going to have a better chance of being more successful if you make your videos. Main things, have good content that people want to watch, but also, you know, production value is valuable as well. So you want to know how to edit your videos and do all that kind of stuff. But it's just not realistic for a job.
Gosh, that sounds like a job to me.
Yeah. No, I want to wake up and just not have to do anything. I'll do something, but I don't want to have to do it, you know. But the way society is, you know, with medical insurance and all that, and it's just, society is built in a way that we're essentially slaves and we have to work 9 to 5s, and the people, no matter where you work, that are only benefiting are, you know, your executives who are making tons of money, living in their fancy houses, and all the little people like myself. I've always been a little person in a job environment, you know, are the ones that barely scrape by, and you know, sucks making other people rich, but but that's the way it's, you know, call it capitalism. I don't know. That's just the way things are.
Wow.
Yeah, what can you do?
Well, just try to be as valued to other people as much as possible. I mean, I can say I love what I do. I love helping people. I love seeing different miracles happen. I love seeing, you know, people change for the better. That to me drives me. And see a smile and get a hug, you know, that drives me to where I am, you know, after many, many years later. So I know most people, unfortunately, are in a rut. Most people don't like what they do or haven't found their purpose or tired that they're doing, but you just got to find the things that you love to do and try and stick with it.
That's all you can do. Try
yeah.
And save up your whole life and hopefully you live long enough to retire.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. You know, people, they had to wait until they retire, but what happens if they don't get to that point? And you know what I tell people, especially when they're so tight with their money and they're just, you know, they're afraid they're going to, you know, even $10 or $20. I know some people are just that mentality, their lack of having, you know, they're afraid to ask Neil because they're just so, well, I got to say, because you never know when I get retired. Well, what happens if you die tomorrow? I mean, shoot, you can't take that stuff with you. You might as well enjoy your life and help other people while you're doing it. That's how I am. Oh my gosh, it's very disappointing to see people so worried about how much money they go out and they're so tight about it.
Yeah, in some cases that works out beneficial when they're at retirement age, but in some cases you die early. Like one of my best friends just dropped dead at the age of 50. And so I've always personally thought that, you know what, if you have money, spend it. So
that's how I am. That's how I
enjoy it now.
Yeah, you want to spend it. But yeah, enjoy it now. I mean, especially I know people who don't have children. So what is their purpose? You know what I mean? It's like you get these people, there's so many different wide range of people. I see poor people that are so generous with their money and willing to give their shirt off the back. And then you get these people that are rich, that are my uncle that I knew that he passed on. He was a billionaire. He was such a big, huge philanthropist. He would put the shirt on, the same person, but he was the opposite. Then you get people that are, you know, that are so freaking tight with money. You know, they're like I said, $10, $20, $50. They act like you're squeezing the life out of them. You know, it's weird. People are strange. People that are really in need. I really damn. Whether it's animals. Animals are my big cause. But yeah, when people are really in need and things, I know what it's like. You know, to have it really rough. I really do, and I'm very, knock on wood, literally, thank God I'm blessed, you know, and continue to be protective and blessed. But, you know, there are people that really have it rough, really do. So, anyway, yeah, we're getting up there, and what are you going to have for dinner tonight, Jason? What are you going to eat for yourself?
I got frozen pizza in the oven, living like a king.
Isn't that crazy? I just had pizza myself.
Gotta love pizza.
As a matter of fact, after I got done, I was on tour yesterday, and after I got done, I told my husband, I said, you know what? I don't want to go out to eat. Let's just go get Papa Murphy's pizza. And that's what I did. I went to Papa Murphy's and got their, what they call, the double step pizza, and I got it extra large. And you can freeze it, too.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Well, hey, Sherry, I just forgot something, and I think we need to end the show a couple minutes early because I have to go do something. I just don't regret.
Well, it's good to have you on radio. It's good to be on radio, and we'll see if we're going to go next week, but for sure we're going to be on, which will be close to the 31st. The 31st is my 8th year anniversary, so I think we're going to celebrate it being so close to the 29th. We'll do the 29th. I think we're going to have, and that's okay if it's all right with you. It hasn't been confirmed, but we will probably end up having Clyde Lewis, radio show personality, or Ron Patton. So these guys are awesome. We can have them. They're personal friends of mine. Love them to death. They're just great guys, good radio. Good all-around guys. I would like to have them on radio for the 20th night. So just cross our fingers. It'll be a fast one-hour show, and we'll just celebrate Halloween then, okay?
All righty. Well, unless you have anything else, Sherry, I'm going to go eat my frozen pizza.
I'm going to plug in really quickly about me. I'm in Chinese medicine. I've just been doing that for umpteen years. Love what I do. I'm also a natural born psychic and a medium. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on my website, www.psychicmediumsherry.com. Again, it's www.mediumsherry.com. Or get a hold of me if you're serious getting a reading, whatever, Chinese medicine, psychic mediumship. Get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, there, or you can get a hold of Jason and I on Paranormal Horizons. We're getting a big influx of new people, I notice, on Paranormal Horizons. So, Jason, keep on going with their memes. People love the memes. Anything serious, they don't like it. You know what I mean? They're not awesome. But anything we have to bring some, you know, laughter in their day or a smile to their face, they love it.
Rock. We'll keep up on it.
Well, you too, because I know you do the same thing when you can. So they love it. Our love it. All right, Jason. Well, anyway, until next time, if not a week to 2 weeks for sure, we will be back on radio. But everybody, hey, love and peace to you guys, and take it easy and be safe.
Hope everybody has a great, safe, and fantastic week. We'll see everybody sometime in the future. Good night, everyone.
If not by 2 weeks, right? All right. Take folks. Take care. Much aloha to you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.